Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is from 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Where we read as follows, "Let no man despise thy youth, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." So far. Being an example in at least six ways. Three thoughts. Timothy, being an example. Secondly, six ways. And in the third place, Christ being an example. So being an example in at least six ways, Timothy being an example, six ways, and Christ an example. Congregation, young friends, children, you all remember Timothy, don't you? Timothy from Derby or from Lystra, young man. His father was Gentile, didn't go to church at all, didn't care. And Timothy has seen that. My dad does not go to church. He is not a Christian. He does not love the Bible. His mother, Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice, were different. And he saw them reading the Bible and praying, and they talked to him, and they had a big influence on him. He saw there is something else there, and it drew him. He was jealous of his mother. He was jealous of that faith of his grandmother. And the Lord worked at a very young age in his heart. And someday, the Apostle Paul came in the area, and he preached the word of God. And the Apostle Paul met also with this young Timothy. And he asked him to come along on his missionary journey. And at a very young age, in his 20s or so, half 20s, we suppose, he went along. Now the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to him 12 years later in 1 Timothy. And he talks to him in a very personal way. He encourages him. He has many things to say to him. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before of thee, that thou may war, a good warfare. He encouraged him in this letter 12 years later. Fight. Continue. Hold on to that faith. Have a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Refuse profane old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Still I come, give attendance to reading. Keep reading, Timothy. And meditate upon those things, and exhort people, and talk to people, and give thyself wholly to them. You know, when you read those epistles, Apostle Paul applies pressure. Do your best, continue on, be a good office bearer, meditate on those things, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Keep the doctrine pure and continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now before I continue, what is this about? The Apostle Paul writes to an office bearer, to someone called by the Lord. What is an office bearer actually? You know, some people are exaggerating that and overvalued, overestimate what it is to be an office bearer, and some undervalue it. Some say, I don't have respect, it doesn't make any difference, who cares, they're just like everyone else. And others say, no, office bearers, they are clergy. They're men of the cloth. They have been ordained by the Lord. They have different blood in their veins. They have been equipped by the Holy Spirit. They are not lay people. They are spiritual people. Something mystical happened to them when they were ordained. There was a sacrament of ordination, and through that sacrament of ordination, they became different people. No. We are not any different. We have a special calling, yes. And for that calling, people may want to respect us, yes. But we are, deep down, not any different. We're not any different. So let us not overestimate it either. And now the apostle writes in our text, let no man despise thy youth. Thy youth. How old is he by now? 12 years later. William Hendrickson and others estimated he is 34 or maybe even 39. Let no man despise thy youth. Is that young? I thought young was 16 or so, or 18. Nobody will despise thy youth. No, youth in the Bible is something else. When you look at Acts 4, verse 22, it says about that man that was at the gate, beautiful gate of the temple, and was healed, that he was not even 40. What does that mean, not even 40? Well, the first period of your life was from 1 to 40. That was the time of your youth. When you turned 40, you became an adult, so to speak. You became more mature, they thought. So nobody despised, no man despised thy youth. In that time, he was in his 30s, and some people thought, you know, he's such a young man. He's only 35 or 34 or 39, whatever it was. And they looked down on him. The apostle said, no. Although he's only in his 30s, respect him, and let nobody despise thy youth. He was chosen by the Lord, by also laying up of hands. And something I would like to insert here, it's not in the text, but just for your, so you know, in the Bible we don't read that office bearers are chosen for the second time. They're chosen for life. Also the deacons. Also the elders. So the fact that we have people chosen again in the same office is based on common sense, is based on practical reasons, not any principal reasons. So when people say someone should be chosen only for 2 or 3 years and then get out, because it's in the church order, I will say the church order gives that opportunity, that possibility to be chosen again, but it's only the church order also that is not used that as a harness. The Bible doesn't talk about that. And yet we all completely agree with our doctrine and with our church order as well, because it's so practical. It's wise. It's based upon the Bible. It's not against the scripture, but it has some things that are not in the scripture either. I admit that. So let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. An example of the believers. So example can mean two things. Does the apostle say you're an example and they need to follow your example? All those believers have to follow your steps and look at you. You're an example to all the believers? Or is it that he is a specimen, that he is a model Christian, that he's one of those showing it, showing what it is to be a believer? I think it's the last one. So let no man despise thy youth, be thou an example of the believers, not for, but of the believers. Of the believers. See that? God's children are called believers here. Why? Because they do. They're God's children because they have been adopted. And they're the sheep because he's the shepherd. And they're believers because they believe. That's an important word, believers. Are you a believer? Of course, I go to church. Yes, but are you a believer? The apostle calls God's people believers. And others may have an historical faith and a miracle faith and a temporary faith, but in fact, they are not the believers. So let us not forget that we need a true saving faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let no man despise thy youth, only your 30s, but be thou an example of the believers. In what sense? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's go over those words. Be an example to the believers in word. You know, we talk a lot, don't we? We have a tongue, we have a mouth, we speak. We speak all the time. And what are we talking about? What are we talking about? What words are we using? What language are we using? What subjects are we talking about? What are the things we talk about all the time? What are the things we never talk about? So when people listen to you, what do they think? He, she talks all the time. How would you characterize you're talking? Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, your talking is important. People are listening to your words. Be an example of the believers in talking. And it does not only mean that he is not supposed to swear or to use words that are almost swearing, but just one letter changed. Young people, it means much more. Let me just explain from the Bible what the apostle is talking about. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Don't even talk about it. Let it not even surface, and don't get anything about it out of your mouth. Let it not even be named. A certain subject we better completely avoid. Don't talk that way. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. There can be such foolish talking about foolish things in foolish ways. with foolish words. The Lord has given us a mouth to speak well and good and godly. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Talk about the good things. To the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. So don't talk corrupt. Talk about good things to the use of edifying. Is it edifying? Does it do anyone any good? Or is it harmful? Is it beneficial, that it may minister grace unto the hearers? You know Timothy's mother? Timothy's grandmother? Office bearers, but in a sense, all God's people, office bearers. In a way, they are the same, only office has received an extra calling, but they have the same calling as well. A good man, converted, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. You know, when you're a good man, something good comes out of your mouth. If you're evil, something evil comes out of your mouth. So that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about, Timothy. Don't let any evil things come out of your mouth. Edify, that grace may be ministered to the hearers. I say unto you that even every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. So every foolish word, idle word, meaningless word, corrupt word, evil things, we all have to give account for that. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So that's true for house visitation, right? To speak good, to speak well, to edify, to not be foolish, talk about the real things, hopefully to make young people jealous, as Timothy was when he listened to Eunice and Lois. This is a command not only for office bearers, but to all of us. We all have been created in God's image to speak well of God. Parents, speak well of God. Don't only talk about what they're supposed to do and not to do. Speak only about good things like Eunice and Lois. Ask the Lord for that grace. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. In conversation, you say, we talked about it already. Words. Conversation is the same. No, it's not. Conversation is an old English word. But now it means talking, right? To converse. But then you open up an old English dictionary, you see the word conversion means something else. Conversation is very close to the word conversion. Ever thought about that? Even in Greek, in the original language, those words conversation and conversion are very similar. Family words. So when someone receives conversion, his conversation changes. Conversation meaning everything has been converted. So your whole entire walk in life, the way you walk, the way you work, whatever you do, The dictionary says, at our conversation, the manner of life, your conduct, your behavior, your deportment. So, Timothy, be an example in conversation, walk, act, behave respectfully all the time, not only when you're on duty, but also off duty, because you are never off duty anyway. Like police officers, they can do certain things off duty. They can do on duty, right? There's nothing like that in the Bible. The apostles and prophets and kings and God's people, and in fact all people, are always constantly on duty. Constantly. And the Lord looks how people behave. So the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, be careful and keep it in mind. How do you walk? How do you talk? Think of Noah. He walked with God and yet was drunk one time. That's not an example, right? That's not behaving well. Enoch, he walked with God. He had a very close walk with the Lord. Oh, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The end, the issue of their conversation, the result of their conversion. So whatever you do, your eyes, your feet, where you go, what you enjoy, what you work so hard for, your time, how you spend your time, how you waste your time, all the time is God's time. You're not off duty any time, always on duty. There's always a responsibility. Your work ethics, your spending habits, everything, your whole entire life and conduct and behavior and deportment is included. And so the apostle writes to Timothy, be an example in everything. People are looking, and if people aren't, the Lord is. In charity. You know about that, right? Charity. When we talk about charities, we talk about organizations of charity. But again, the word charity also has changed over time, and it simply means love. Agape, love. But then, a specific kind of love. You know, I love gardening. I love flowers. You may love hunting. You may love... That's not what it is. To love things. To love to do certain things. But love here in the Bible is personal. To love someone. Affectionate. Tender. Emotional. Heartfelt. It's even used for the Lord Jesus loving the rich young ruler who was unconverted, right? Proud and left and did not want to sell his goods. And the Lord Jesus loved him. Same word. He loved him. He, in a sense, although he was unconverted, appreciated him, was in a certain affection. He has kept the law. He was outwardly walking in the ways of the Lord. So think about those chapters like 1 Corinthians 13 about love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Not only loving God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word and His people and His day, but also loving people. Loving your enemies. The same word, agape. We are called to not only tolerate our enemies, but to be kind and nice to them. And to keep coals of fire on their head. So if you have the idea that some people hate you, be nice to them. Be loving. Reach out. Don't retaliate. Be meek. That's what it is here. So the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, in your ministry, be kind and loving and meek and be an example. Be an example in loving people, in loving anyone on the street, in loving anyone in problems, anyone in living in sin. Anyone, you just absolutely have no respect for those words he says and those deeds he shows. You just are disgusted by what he is doing and she is doing, and yet love the person and show that love. So Timothy, be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, but also in spirit. In spirit. What does that mean? By spirit, you think of the Holy Spirit, you think of Pentecost, you think of those people at Pentecost filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when people are filled with the Spirit and are spiritual? There's a zeal, there's a drive, there's something they want to do. There's something that drives, there's an engine starting, and they have a zeal and a spirit to do things to God's glory. So spiritual is the opposite of carnal. It's the opposite of worldly. Spirit is the opposite of living for yourself and doing your own thing and keeping things to yourself and just don't care. No, it is to love and have a spirit in you. You know, in the early New Testament, they were wondering about money and the widows of the Grecians were neglected, and they decided to start something else, and to have deacons taking care of the monetary side of the church and looking for people who could do that. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So let's look for people with the Spirit of God, with a special zeal and drive, not lukewarm, but with a spirit. Or think of Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, that man was full of the Spirit, longing for heaven, longing for spiritual things, not earthly, not worldly, not flat, not mind the things of this life, but a pilgrim with a spirit in him. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. Be an example in faith. Now, of course, Timothy was a man of faith. The Lord had made him a believer. He wasn't by nature. But at a very young age, through the blessing of the Lord, Lord has given him the Spirit, and faith was worked in his heart. He believed the Scriptures. He was familiar with the Bible, and he loved to read it and to study it and to meditate on it. And he believed those things, but especially believed on and in Christ. So why does the apostle now say, be an example in faith? It was faith anyway. It was in his heart, right? And sometimes the Lord visited him, correct? The Lord sometimes opens his word to the believers and then becomes warm again in their hearts, right? So it was in his heart. It sometimes was warm in his heart. But now the apostle writes, Timothy, I would like to see more of the exercise of it. That you practice it, that you have that courage and that faith, that you don't waver and don't doubt. That you be strong. Just trying to preach the word, right? Not adding anything, not taking anything out of it, not saying, well, let us just neglect that piece. No. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy, be an example in faith. Think of words like 1 Corinthians 16, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So the Lord is speaking to the young Timothy in his 30s for his office, be strong in faith. Quit yourself like a man. Be strong. Or think of Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. In other words, the apostle writes, Timothy, think of the promises of God. He is faithful. He doesn't let you go. He doesn't let anyone take you out of his hands. Nobody's always supposed to pluck you out of his hands. He keeps you. Stand fast. Hold on. Continue. Be encouraged. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So Timothy, in your labors, in your house visitations, in reading and preaching and all the labors, have faith. You have a faithful God. You have a faithful Savior. He won't let you down. Be encouraged. Don't be so down. Don't look away from the Lord. Think of your calling. I am faithful, and you have faith. I am faithful to my own work, and I do the work for you. I will help you. I will equip you. I will encourage you. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor greedy or filthy looker, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So holding it in confidence. And then also he writes in purity. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, charity, spirit, faith, in purity. Now often we think of purity, we think of this one thing, right? The seventh commandment, right? It's wider. It's included that. It's wider. It means be clean. Be immaculate. Be innocent. Have a good conscience. But I agree, included is sin against the seventh commandment. Timothy was human. Timothy was still a sinful human. He still had an old man. He was single. In his 30s. He lived in a time and place where sin was normal. And thousands of opportunities to sin, to fall into sins of homosexuality, prostitution, affairs, pornography was normal. As an office, but he was also vulnerable. So the Apostle Paul writes it just straight in his face. A human. In purity, be pure, be clean. Don't go the wrong way. Be a follower of God and a follower of Christ. Purity. So see this in the context of all those encouragements. Neglect not the gift, meditate, read, take heed to thyself. But then Christ, our third thought, Christ. Let no man despise thy youth. I trust you don't despise me. I trust you don't despise the elders, the deacons. I trust you don't. Younger or old, it doesn't matter. But do you despise Christ? You are behaving so well, you're just good members of the church, supporting the church, loving the church, part of the community, respecting the elders, loving the doctrine, and despising Jesus. He was young. He was in his 30s. He was perfect. Do we look down on him? That's even worse. Let no man despise him. He is the example to follow of the believers. He is the example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Right? He is the word himself. When the Lord Jesus spoke, people were struck. He spoke with authority, so honest, so kind, so good, so special. Have you heard his words? Do you despise the words of Christ? He speaks. Be ye followers of me, the Apostle Paul writes, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Oh, we need that Savior, Jesus Christ, as office bearers. We feel so inadequate, so insufficient. And we need Him that He speaks, that He takes our words and that He applies it. He brings it close to hearts. He enters into people's lives. It's His word. The word, the two-edged sword, it's His word. And let's not despise the word of God. The scriptures Timothy was familiar with. Oh, his conversation. He did not need conversion for his conversation. He walked closer to God than Enoch and Noah. He walked with God in everything. Glorified his Father. What a beautiful person, God Himself. And the Father said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We need to hide behind Him. We need Him as our Savior. And we may preach Him today. He speaks the word, and His words are faithful and true. He doesn't lie. No corrupt language ever has left His mouth. There's no guile found in His mouth. Oh, what a charity, what a love of Christ. What an abounding love, how good to all people, right? To all people, the sun goes up over the evil and the good. So patience and long-suffering and extending the word to us. Good to all, and the shepherd of his sheep, and he gave his life for his church. What a love, what a deep charity, what an affection, not only for the universe, but for people. And he looks after enemies, and he changes enemies' hearts with the love of God and the love of Christ. He ate with publicans and sinners at the same table. What a demeanor. What an example of love. What a spirit the Lord Jesus had. What a zeal in his heart, how unworldly, how heavenly oriented, how really spiritual. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, that Jesus is the example, but not only example, he is also Savior and substitute. I read in Isaiah 11, verse 2, something about Jesus that might touch your heart. I hope it does. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Rest upon him. Stay there. Rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Follow Him. Seek Him. He is the only Savior. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens are opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning, lighting upon him. Oh, he's that Savior. What a Spirit. What a faith. Faith in the sense of faithful, trusting God, and being faithful himself, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. All these things said, amen, be the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So I see, the longer I look at this text, the more I see of Jesus. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. How pure he was in his affections, how pure. Think of the next chapter, verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. So the Lord Jesus dealt with people as his mother, as his sisters, in all purity. So congregation, he is not only an example, he is also the Savior and the substitute. So let me just close with this. Let no man despise him. He is everything. Amen.